Welcome to Curious FM. Today I want to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart, and I think something everybody has an opinion about, and I don't think there are any hard and fast and true answers, except for the ones that I'm about to give you, of course. So this is more about how we work than what we work on. And I think that's really important. I'm a big believer in systems. And I'm a big believer in, you know, kind of how you spend your time throughout the day is kind of how you spend your time throughout the weeks, which is also how you spend your time throughout the months and throughout your life. So I've spent years, man, years thinking about productivity. Of course, that's what I'm talking about here. I've spent years thinking about how to work. You know, I started doing the startup thing from such an early age and working for myself that I didn't really have an opportunity to learn from someone to kind of be taught how to handle these things. So anyway, I spent some time, I sat down and I put my thoughts together. Basically everything that I know about productivity or everything that I want to tell you about productivity. And I wrote two different blog posts over on terrygodier.com. That's TerryGodier.com. And the first is called The Truth About Productivity. And I'm going to go ahead and read that to you now in case you probably aren't a visitor to my blog yet. But this lays it out pretty well. And I'll add a little bit of color commentary as we go. The productivity industry is full of bullshit. When it's not outright crap, it's shallow content, regurgitated in hundreds of ways. An app for this, a recurring subscription for that. Oh, and before you leave, pick up a copy of my latest book on Amazon. I have 196,000 people on my newsletter. Can you afford not to join? I've spent close to a decade looking for the perfect productivity system. I've tried dozens of task list apps and project management systems, and I've read more books and articles than I can remember. I hate to say it, but the vast majority of that time was wasted, misguided at best. Like so many others before me, I became obsessed with the system instead of the results. When I wasn't busy being productive, I loved reading about productivity. I subscribed to almost a dozen blogs and newsletters, each pumping content directly into my inbox. My proverbial cup and Instapaper account runneth over. I spent an enormous amount of time reading about productivity. I hope that I'm not the only one here that can see the irony. The good news is that nobody has a monopoly on truth within the productivity niche, as I said before. There aren't any secrets that'll transform you from a procrastinator to an overnight success. The bad news is that the hard work is yours and yours alone. For some reason, that doesn't drive page views the way the other stuff does. Productive doesn't mean successful. The truth is that practicing productivity doesn't always correlate to success, and success doesn't care about your grind, nor does it care about your productivity system. Success is the result of doing the right things over a sustained period, mixed with a little bit of luck. Is the goal to have prodigious output? Or is the goal to make meaningful progress on things that matter? I think you know the answer. Becoming really good at productivity means becoming really good at completing large numbers of tasks. I'd rather be really good at doing the right things that matter than become really good at doing the wrong things, most of which definitely do not matter. Humans respond to incentive very well. Implied incentives are among the most devious because we're not always aware of them. Be aware of the incentives you create for yourself. If you don't have any specific goals, the default goal generally becomes more tasks created, more tasks completed, and more productivity. Productivity is really about how we do the things that we don't want to do. So I have a quote here by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. I think I pronounce that correctly, but he's the author of a book that I love called Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience. And this is what he says. He says, "Few things are sadder than encountering a person who knows exactly what he should do, yet cannot muster enough energy to do it." Most of us don't need a list or a calendar to tell us how to spend our free time. We know what we want to be doing. Certain hobbies or people become more important to us than other things do, and we don't need a system to help us spend time on them. The reason we feel like we need a productivity system is that we're probably doing work that doesn't matter to us, or maybe we're overcommitted. If this is you, there's no productivity system in a world that's going to solve your problems. A career change might, or being ruthless about culling your commitments and responsibilities. An example, okay? Several productivity systems focus on doing the hardest thing first, what they call eating that frog. The idea is that, if you eat a frog first thing in the morning, everything else the rest of that day is going to be fairly enjoyable in contrast, right? So completing the most difficult task first thing in the morning makes the rest of your tasks easy to complete throughout the day by comparison. So this does work, but again, it's a truism. There's no real wisdom here. It's just like a parlor trick. Gets you to work on things that you wouldn't have otherwise, and that's, I guess, maybe what productivity should be, at least how we should think about productivity. So said another way, wake up and do the thing that you have the most resistance to in order to free up your time for things that are easier to work on. At the end of the day, the only thing that will help you tackle difficult tasks is grit and a fair amount of discipline. No one can replace or obviate these requirements. My best advice is to stop looking and start doing. That's the only way that progress is made. So there's the post. The first post, this is the first of two, as I said before, and it's really about kind of dispelling all the crap, right? Like, there are so many blogs out there that talk about productivity and try this one weird tip and this little trick. And if you just sign up for my course, and if you just, I wrote a book on this and blah, blah, it's all crap, man. Like, if you want to get something done, the only thing to do about it is just to do it. I don't think that there are tricks. If you know how to complete the work that's in front of you for the most part, you're going to be fine. And I think if you don't, then maybe you have to look at how you set priorities, or maybe you should be doing a different type of work, or maybe what you really need is some organization. So I did write the second part to this, and it's kind of hilarious and ironic in light of everything that I just said, that this second article is called How to Be Productive. I'm going to go ahead and read that to you now. I'm going to teach you what I know about being productive, as simply as possible. Before we begin, though, I should probably tell you that I disagree with the vast majority of productivity blogs and gurus. Also, this method isn't backed by science, thousands of studies, or one weird trick. It's pretty straightforward. Rule number one, be aware of the incentives that you create for yourself. Becoming really good at productivity often means becoming really good at completing large numbers of tasks. I don't care about optimizing how many tasks I can get done in a day. What matters to me, and I think to most of us, is making material progress towards things that matter. Things more akin to a novel or a software project than a 5-minute to-do item. Optimizing for the amount of stuff I can cram into a day feels disingenuous and disconnected from how the world actually works. The world often rewards us for creating value, not the number of things that we do. So there's no goalpost that says complete 10 things today and tomorrow you're going to get rich, or you're going to accomplish, and achieve your wildest dreams. That's generally not how that happens. Most task management apps distill tasks down to a single number. Optimizing for reducing this number would be misguided at best. Success isn't defined by some magical amount of tasks. Humans respond to incentive very well, so try to create incentives that align with your goals. I talked about this in the other thing, in the other article, and I do believe that sometimes through these systems that we create for ourselves, we incentivize the wrong thing. And I think that what I'm trying to get at here is that with productivity, if it's tied around 5 minutes here, Pomodoro 15 minutes here, or maybe you got to do 5 big things first thing in the morning, well, then all of a sudden you find yourself, at least I do, find yourself starting to optimize to get the 5 things done. You might select things that are a little bit easier to do or something. It's just be aware of the incentives you create for yourself, because your system, you know, the way that your system is supposed to set up is that you've got inputs and you've got what happens in the middle, and then you've got your outputs. And sometimes if you set the wrong incentives, your outputs aren't going to be quite what you expect. Rule number two, don't make it hard to do your work. So I have a quote here from Confucius, who said, "Life is really simple, but we insist on making it complicated." Some people pride themselves on building complex ecosystems of software products that enable their productivity. I used to do this too. Over the years, I have used OmniFocus, Todoist, Things, Basecamp, Any.do, To-Do, T-E-U-X-D-E-U-X. Remember the Milk, Wunderlist, Bullet Journaling, Field Notes. I mean, I've used so many things. I love it. I love wasting an afternoon learning some new system or some new trick, right? My brain is just addicted to these things. I bought books, online courses. I read hundreds and hundreds of pieces of content. I even took private training. I hired some of the most well-known coaches in the industry, both executive coaches and productivity people, specifically on the OmniFocus side. So here's the thing about that. Humans suffer greatly from complexity bias. The more complex a solution is, the more likely we believe it to be the best. In reality, the simplest solutions are often the most successful. They're easier to understand, implement, and maintain. The last one is important. Lack of maintenance is one of the most common reasons for abandoning a task management app. I mean, this is true for me. This is probably true for you. Once populated with dozens, sometimes even hundreds of tasks, the system needs regular attention to stay current and hold our confidence. A few weeds begin to sprout here and there, and the system atrophies into a rat's nest. This breaks our faith in the system, and we're off looking for the shiny new thing that'll bring order to our workflow. The one app to rule them all. Here's the simplest solution I can come up with for the productivity problem. So step one is to define your goals. Figure out the big picture stuff. I firmly believe that we should reach for depth over breadth. Become involved in fewer things, but go deeper. This works for relationships, projects, learning, hobbies, all the way down the line. Sit down and think intensely about the things that matter to you. Think about the accomplishments you'd like to have. Figure out the leading indicators of success and bake them into a plan. This process should help you determine your focus areas. So then step two, work on the right things at the right time. A good system gives context and visibility to tasks or projects that need to be worked on right now. Context is important because it enables you to operate within a narrative. What came before and what comes after are just as important as what you're currently doing. Narrative chronology establishes momentum and allows us to work on complex tasks that require multiple sessions to complete. Visibility means never losing track of a task. My favorite solutions have a pool or a backlog of tasks that you can pull from. If something gets pulled and not completed, it gets returned to the pool for another day, so you don't lose anything. Think about how you spend your time and try to be intentional. For the things that you aren't motivated to do, create a list and prioritize. Be aware of the due dates and the commitments. The difficulty here comes from maintaining focus. The internet can pull you into a multitude of directions. It requires serious discipline to adhere to the path, no matter how visible it is. Developing grit and perseverance will be some of the most important work that you do. I really do believe that. Step number three is to have a way to reset. I'm a big fan of keeping a tidy workspace. When I'm feeling stuck or unmotivated, I'll tidy my workspace or my surroundings. This also serves as a mental reset. The location of the activity isn't important. Other people I know take showers, they take walks, that type of thing. So what's important is that you find a way to refresh your energy and clarify your mind. Often some of our best work is done away from our workspace. That's true for me. Step four is to keep it simple. Eschew complexity. You don't need some calibrated ecosystem of software products. Pencil and paper work great. If you like digital, a simple text document can suffice. Open Notepad, right? The goal should be to work on the essential and to make room for deeper engagement. At least that's my goal right now. That's what I'm trying to do. I arrived there after quite a bit of thinking, of which I will share with you in future episodes, but that's my goal for now, is to try to go quite a bit deeper. So in general, less is more. Think fewer tools with fewer rules. Conclusion: tactics versus principles. There's always a new way to do something, a new article, a new app, a new productivity video. Part of your journey will be to learn how to silence these distractions and stick to the system. The principles, after all, do not change much over time. New tricks often end up looking a lot like old tricks once the packaging is removed. My final piece of advice is to spend some time distilling down to the essentials. What is the bare minimum that you need to do the work that matters? Start there. Chances are you'll finish there too. So that's the second post that I wrote. Those two posts taken together kind of encapsulate all of my thoughts, at least my current thinking on productivity, which is something that I love kind of having figured out. And I don't know that this is the correct way to do it for everybody, but it works for me. At this point in time, I'm more productive than I've ever been. And my workflow is simpler than it's ever been. And I spend my time doing things other than work. That's been really important to my productivity as well. And I think now that I have that figured out, I get a lot of clarity because I don't have to go out there and look for the blog post or go find somebody to tell me how to do this or evaluate new software all the time. You know, I do check product on. I do keep up to date on these things. And, you know, I am easily moved by all this because, like, so right now I use Things 3 for Mac, which I really love. I love it on the phone. I love it on desktop. And it's just simple. And that's kind of what I'm going for right now. And it does a great job. It doesn't let me forget about things. I schedule things out in there and it works fine. But I've always been a big OmniFocus user. As I mentioned before, I took private training and, you know, it's my brain works the way that program works. Just Things is a little bit more sexy, right? Well, anyway, the latest version of OmniFocus came out and, you know, all my friends were, hey, check this out. You should see how this works now. And it was really hard for me not to. But I got tough and I didn't buckle under the pressure. And, now that, you know, several months have gone by, I still haven't even looked at it. And I'm fine with that, to be honest with you, because I'd rather spend my time on other things, you know, because no amount of productivity, systemization in the world, no app is going to make it easier for me to do the things that I want to be doing, which is, you know, writing, which I just read to you, and making this podcast, right? Like nothing, things can't make me do that. It's me that wants to do that. It's grit, it's perseverance, it's thought that are required in that. It's just general old-fashioned hard work. I think it's Nike maybe said it best, right? Where the answer is just do it. Just get up and do it. If you want to be a scientist, then go to school, figure out how to do that, and get a job, and start practicing science. If you want to be a developer, figure that path out as well. If you want to start running marathons, well, the best possible time to start doing that is probably right now, and the best possible thing to do is probably to start running. You know, that's kind of the way these things work. So anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts. That's kind of where I wanted to go with this episode, and still kind of finding my footing here on how to kind of narrate these things or do these monologue episodes. I'm still going to have interviews in the future. Just going to kind of do what's interesting to me, and I think it's going to take a little bit of time to hit my stride here. So I appreciate you bearing with me, but I do hope this episode was interesting to you because pretty excited about the content that I've kind of created on this topic. So anyway, thank you guys. As always, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me an email to show@curious.fm. Show notes are posted over at the official site at curious.fm. You can follow me on Twitter @CFMPod, if that's your thing. See you next time.